All right, we are right on the eve of what the world recognizes as the birth of Jesus Christ. And we could certainly spend all morning talking about how the world got to that opinion, which happens to be false. It did not happen on December 25th. It didn't even happen close to December 25th. But it did happen on September 11th of that year. According to the Jewish calendar, that date kind of slides around in our calendar. So one year it might be actually September 10th or the 12th or something like that. But the Jewish calendar goes by the moon, and our Gregorian calendar goes by the sun. So that is why there's a difference. But on that year, it was September 11th. And one of the things that you see in there written in the book of Luke is that there was shepherds in the field at night tending their flock. Most likely, they'd be freaking their tuchus off if it was like today.
Right.
Nor do they keep the sheep out in the field in the wintertime because there's no growth. They have harvested things for them to eat during the summer, and they have them stored, and they have the sheep in the sheep hold, which is usually a stone wall fence around so that the predators can't get them. But in the summertime and in the fall, like September, they would be out in the sheep, out in the field. Plus, sometimes farmers will hire the shepherds to bring their sheep out in the field to provide fertilizer. All those reasons would indicate, hey, this isn't happening in December anyway. But there's all kinds of other evidence for September 11th. There's astronomical evidence, there's historical evidence. So why don't we believe it? Because you get a ship going in one direction. It takes a lot of energy and a lot of willpower for it to turn that ship and make it go in another direction. So you got this thing called the Christian church for over almost 2,000 years now going in one direction. And so it's just difficult to get people turned in their opinion about something. But I often wondered and never really had a good handle or understanding of why the shepherds, out of all the people in Israel, you see, there were people that were godly men. There were people that listened to God. And others that were in the land at the time, why were they not invited to the birth? Why just the shepherds? And I didn't have a real good answer until last winter, last time when we were down in Columbus visiting the kids. I ran across this on the internet, and you can find it too. It's called The Tower of the Flock. You can look it up, do a Google search, or, you know, and it'll take you right to it. But let's look at the account, because it's only found in the book of Luke, chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, what field were they in? Where was Jesus Christ born?
Bethlehem.
Bethlehem, right. So they were just outside of town in the town of Bethlehem. Bethlehem is a very short distance. I think it's like a 15, 20-minute drive at the most on bad roads from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. So it's kind of like a suburb.
Okay.
But it has farm fields and stuff in between. But today it'd be more be considered a suburb because both cities have grown out further toward each other. But they're in the fields outside of Bethlehem keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. I would think, having never seen an angel, that when an angel shows up, it would be a little startling.
Yeah.
Okay? You weren't quite sure because, historically speaking, when angels show up, people usually died. So they weren't too anxious. And so they were afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill unto men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. So, they kind of came on the scene, saw what the angels said that they would see, and then went out and told everybody that they could tell. And all they could do was scratch their heads. So, why in the world would that happen? Now, it's good that there was a witness to the birth, I guess, in that sense. But why these guys? Why these shepherds? So, when I came across this article, and I'm going to read you the whole thing because I think it has a lot of great stuff in it. It says, one of the most powerful statements in the biblical narrative on the birth of Christ is the proclamation made by the angel to shepherds in the fields outside of Bethlehem. "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Okay, end of quote. It was a first declaration of the Evangelion. I think that's what it says. The good news of the redemptive gospel of Jesus Christ. That must be the definition of that word I can't pronounce. It is remarkable to see that this first declaration made to Israelites outside of the immediate family of Jesus was not given to the religious or political leaders of Israel, but to shepherds keeping their flocks. The shepherds' fields outside of Bethlehem to this day play a central role in the Christmas celebrations in the Holy Lands. Countless tourists have visited the fields between Bethlehem and Jerusalem. The church historian Eusebius linked these fields to a unique biblical location called Migdal Eder. Migdal Eder, E-D-E-R, which translated means the Tower of the Flock. The first time Migdal Eder is mentioned in the Bible is in the account of Rachel, who died after giving birth to Benjamin, the youngest son of Jacob. Quote, "Then Israel journeyed and pitched his tent beyond the Tower of Eder," records Genesis 35:21. This area on the outskirts of Bethlehem is also mentioned in the Talmudic writings. According to the Talmud, all cattle found in the area surrounding Jerusalem as far as Migdal Eder were deemed to be holy and consecrated and could only be used for sacrifices in the temple, in particular for the peace and Passover sacrifices. There was thus a special consecrated circle around the city in Jerusalem.
Wow.
This means the shepherds in the fields of Bethlehem who first heard the good news from the angel were not ordinary shepherds, but served the sacrificial system in the temple. These men served the Mosaic covenant, a foreshadowing of the new covenant. And these men were now confronted with the reality of the eternal light to which their ministry had been appointed all these centuries. It was declaring a new era of salvation. The Hebrew prophet Micah also referred to Migdar Eder, quote, "And you, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, to you shall it come. Even the former dominion shall come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem." Micah 4:8. Based on that prophecy, prominent Jewish writers concluded in the Midrash that from all the places in Israel, it would be the Migdar Eder where the arrival of the Messiah would be declared first. That means when the angels appeared that night to the shepherds in the fields outside of Bethlehem, it was not a declaration of the good news to simple shepherds. It was a powerful prophetic sign to all of Israel. The news that of that night must have spread like wildfire through the surrounding villages. Luke records, "Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds." Luke 2:17-18. What does all this mean for us? Number one, first, it is always beneficial for the church to see that Jesus did not arrive into a vacuum, but was born into an entirely Jewish context. When Christ came in the flesh, he was born first and foremost to the Jewish people, but would then also bring his favor and good pleasure to all men. Even though the celebration of the Christ's birth has become a feast marked almost exclusively by the Gentile church, it is important for us to see it in its historic and biblical context, as a message intended to give hope to Israel. As Zacharias prophesied at the birth of John the Baptist, this all happened to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham. Luke 1:72. Second, already from the moment Jesus entered the world, the ultimate reason for his arrival was alluded to. There were the shepherds who took care of the sheep and cattle offered in the temple, in particular, the Passover sacrifice. And it was they who were confronted with the announcement that the ultimate sacrifice, which would carry away not only the sins of Israel, but of the whole world, was born. Just 33 years later, no further sacrifice was to be needed, as all those who believed in him have been sacrificed through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Hebrews 10:10. Third, the angelic announcement gave these simple shepherds a profound revelation of who this Messiah would be. He was proclaimed to be both king, born in the city of David, and priest. That he was both Christ and Lord, the Son of Man, but also the Son of God. He would be the Savior of humanity, but also the shepherd of all those who would follow his voice. It was truly good news which the angels proclaimed that night long ago. But as with the shepherds, the mere knowledge of this news is not enough. They need to act upon it, and they did. They went personally to see that child and then proclaimed his birth wherever they could. Let us follow the example of the shepherds of Bethlehem and rededicate our lives afresh to that great Savior who was born in Bethlehem. He is the shepherd of our souls, from 1 Peter 2:25, who died for our sins and redeems us to reign and rule with him for eternity. This is good news indeed. So, another reason why it's only recorded in the book of Luke, this account with the shepherds, is Luke is the gospel beholding Jesus the man. Mm-hmm. And the Passover lamb had to be a lamb without spot and blemish taken from the flock. So Jesus Christ being the man, and that's where the book of Luke concentrates on, is from that angle, that viewpoint, it would be absolutely appropriate for this account to be in this record only, because it is he being taken from the flock of mankind without spot and without blemish. And it was, since it was their Mosaic duty to care for the Passover lamb, it was needful for them to know that he was going to be that perfect and last sacrifice. So the Word of God is just so spectacular in all the ways it fits together. And I'm just so glad that God keeps revealing it to his people, because I don't know the person who put this together, but I'm sure thankful that he did, because it gives great insight to the absolute perfection of how God brought this wonderful birth to pass. And the thing that we have to remember is that he doesn't love you any less than he loves his own son. And if he cares enough for his own son to bring all these details together, what's he doing in your life? What kind of details is he bringing together to make those things that you need to come to pass? So that's what I had to share.